scripture reading. We'll have a prayer by Brother Otis Lyons, and then the program will continue. Amen. I'm reading from Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25, and they read as follows. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen.
Come, let us adore him, for this is his day, not ours. This is a time for a celebration to give all hearts and minds. And you know, I never take it lightly if I pray. So forgive me if I try to get myself together. Father God, we come right now knowing that we're not worthy. We're not worthy to stand before the throne of grace, but we know that you, our God and Lord Jesus Christ, are there. You've said that anything that we ask in your name, it shall be given. So we just ask you to help us and guide us as we pray this day. For as a man, I don't always know what to say. I don't always obey the Holy Spirit. I don't always do the right thing. Oh, but I thank you. I thank you because of your amazing grace. That'll be my song. Because you look beyond all my faults, every last one of them, and saw my need. And the need was for someone to save me, someone to help me when I got to be a little brat. When I wanted to do things my way. When I decided that I didn't want to be obedient, but I wanted to experience life. Lord, I thank you for this day, this moment. As I reflect on each and every Christmas that I've ever had since I've been born, I think about the love and the joy that I had when I was a child. And I thought about the love and joy that I had as I celebrated Christmas with my children. And as I go on in life, I realize that the greatest celebration, the greatest gift that was ever given to me was you, O Lord. Such perfection, such dedication, such love for me. My. When I think about how good you are to me, it just blows my mind. Because no matter where I go, you're with me. No matter where I travel, you're with me. And just like you tell the sea, don't go any further. When my trials and tribulations come, you put a stop to it. But I thank you. I thank you for my trials. I thank you for my troubles. Because if I didn't have them, I wouldn't even call out your name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, it's just so hard sometimes to live this human experience. Oh, we get caught up in all these emotions. We get caught all up in these anxieties and these fears. But, oh, if we just take your hand, if we just take your hand, oh, Lord, we know that we can make it through another day.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, through afflictions, through pain, through hurt, through sorrow, through grief.
Yes.
You're there. That's when we need you the most, but you're even there in our joy. And we thank you.
Thank you,
we thank you because we just have this opportunity to say thank you, first of all.
Lord,
you know, you gave us another chance at life. You know, and I just can't thank you enough. I can't thank you for this church family, this church here on Posada Drive here. I can't thank you enough for being this little church where the presence of God and His Spirit is always here. I pray for each and one of my brothers and sisters under the sound of my voice. I pray first of all for my pastor, who is yonder shepherd, who has to watch over this flock. I pray for his wife who has to listen to all the stuff that he has to take home with him because we won't act right. Father God, we just ask you right now to bless him. Keep him. When he thinks he's tired, oh Lord, pick him up. And then we pray for his sidekick. Oh, Reverend Lundy. You know, he's Joshua. You know, he's there, you know, to pick up the pieces, to fill in. You know, and then we thank you for the deacon board that fills in the gaps, that's there for those people that are afflicted, that took me to one hospital to another and was there and to visit and encourage and pray for me. We thank you for their wives as well. We thank you for every auxiliary in this church, because it's not about us, oh Lord, it's about you. And it's not in the big things that we do for you, oh Lord. I'm finding every day, it's just in that little stuff that we do. That little stuff. Just a kind smile and a sweet hello sometimes is all some person needs. We never know what's going on in a person's mind, but today, let us put aside all our troubles and concentrate on you. Concentrate on you because you're worthy. You took it upon yourself to take on flesh. You was in the world, but you wasn't from it. No. You came down. You came down from heaven so that we would be without any excuse from now on that what you tell us we cannot do. Oh, Jesus, the perfection, came as a baby, lived this life in these vessels of clay. And he realized, he didn't forget where he came from, he didn't forget about what the mission, and I'm quite certain through his childhood, he was constantly reminded that he had something to do. How many of us have reflected and thought about it? God has something for us to do as well. Lord, help us. Help us to fulfill our purpose that you destined for us from the time that we were birthed. Help us use every gift that you ever gave us to lift you up, to magnify you, to glorify you, and tell everyone, whether they want to hear it or not, just how good you are. Lord, there's a lot more I could say, but it's not about me. It's all about you. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you especially, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Y'all hear me? Yes, y'all can hear me. Good morning, Zion Rest, and a very Merry Christmas. These are songs that you guys all know, so we're just asking that you join in with us. I have a few ladies helping me out this morning, but clap your hands, and let's just praise the Lord for his birth. Amen? Amen.
Let every heart prepare.
I know you all know this one as well. Hark the herald angels sing. And
hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye angels rise. Joyless triumph of the sky. Sing the joyous hymns proclaim. Christ is born in Bethlehem.
People who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine.
For a child is born to us, a son is given to us.
And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
His government and his peace will never end. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
Amen. You may be seated.
So the questions are as follows. Number one.
No, just tell them what the questions are, and if the kids think they can answer those questions, let me know as you exit the sanctuary.
Okay. Question number one, and this is a good refresher for adults as well, by the way. Okay, number one, Did Jesus have a last name? Question number one. Did Jesus have a last name? Was Christ Jesus' last name? Okay. Got it? I need to repeat it?
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay.
Amen.
Number two. Does the Bible say that there were three wise men? Does the Bible say there were three wise men? Number three, did the wise men come to the house or to the manger? Did the wise men come to the house or to the manger? Number four, did the wise men see the star or the shepherds? In other words, who saw the star, the wise men or the shepherds? Number five, did Mary get pregnant before they were married? Did Mary get pregnant before she and Joseph got married? Number six, did Joseph get Mary pregnant before they got married? Did Joseph get Mary pregnant before they got married? And then these are three harder ones, which are very challenging. Number seven, how many genealogies are in the New Testament? How many genealogies are in the New Testament? Number eight, which one of the genealogies was for his mother and which one was for the father? Which genealogy was for the mother and which genealogy was for the father? And then finally, number nine, out of whatever number you guess for the genealogies, which one was for the Jews and which one was for us? Which genealogy was for the Jews and which one was for us? Thank you and God bless you.
Amen.
and Merry Christmas. I'm going to do a reading this morning, and I hope you enjoy it. It's called Jesus, Our Hope. Psalms 33:22 says, "May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you." And from the book Totally Saved by Dr. Tony Evans, I quote these words. "We have lasting hope through the salvation we have in Christ. Hope means that even when it looks like it's all over, it's not all over yet. That's why the Bible says we can rejoice even in our tribulations. God is working in our hard times to produce proven character and hope in us." For a lot of people, the Christmas season means nothing more than parties and gifts, decorations, and time off work. For Christians, however, this time of year is a happy reminder of the hope we have because of Jesus Christ. Before Jesus came, God seemed distant, hidden in the Holy of Holies in the temple, accessible only to the high priest. Worshippers wondered whether their sacrifices were acceptable. They doubted their salvation. Christ means hope to the person out of work, to the struggling single mother, to the dying believer. Even if you are just slogging your way through the disappointments of life, if you have Jesus, you have hope. And he is not a false hope, a childish fairy tale that we wish will have a happy ending. When Christ rose from the dead, that ended the argument. Period. Our hope in him is solid, and it is real. Christmas is a renewal of that hope. It reconfirms it for us if our vision has grown dim. It was settled long ago, so we don't have to doubt anymore. Jesus is the fulfillment of our hope. Deepest longings come true. I want to ask each of you to do something tonight. Step outside when it gets dark. Look up into the sky. Find the brightest star you can. And let it be a reminder to you of the star of Bethlehem that gave hope to the Magi. Be reminded of the hope that lives within you. A hope that will not disappoint. A hope in Jesus. Let us all pray that God would show us how to make that hope grow. That he would show us anything we need to know to truly believe in Jesus with all our lives and place all our hope in him. And before I sit down, I wanted to leave this for you to think about. A comparison between Jesus and Santa Claus. And I want to tell you why Jesus is better than Santa Claus. Santa lives at the North Pole. Jesus is everywhere. Santa rides in a sleigh. Jesus rides on the wind and walks on the water. Santa comes but once a year. Jesus is an ever-present help. Santa fills your stockings with goodies. Jesus supplies all your needs. Santa comes down your chimney uninvited. Jesus stands at your door and knocks and enters your heart by invitation. You have to wait in line to see Santa. Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. Santa helps you. Lets you sit on his lap. Jesus lets you rest in his arms. Santa doesn't know our name. All he can say is, "Hi, little boy or girl, what's your name?" Jesus knows our name before we did. Not only does he know our name, He knows our history and future. And he even knows our hearts and how many hairs are on our head. Santa has a belly like a bowl of jelly. Jesus has a heart full of love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. All Santa can offer is ho, ho, ho. Jesus says, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. Santa's little helpers make toys. Jesus makes a new life. Mends wounded hearts, repairs broken homes, and builds mansions. Santa makes you chuckle, but Jesus gives you joy that is your strength. While Santa puts gifts under your tree, Jesus became our gift and died on a tree. For you and for me, it is obvious there's really no comparison. We need to remember who Christmas is all about. We need to put Christ back in Christmas. Jesus is still the reason for the season. Jesus Christ is better. He is even better than Santa Claus. Merry Christmas.
So let us read that together, if you would. If you don't have a Bible, you can share it with us. So this morning we want to talk about a white Christmas. Amen. Can everybody say a white Christmas? One more time. Amen. We're talking about a white Christmas. You may be seated, because it's something, Joshua, about Christmas that make people want to make it white. Something about it that if it's not white, is incomplete without it. It's inadequate without it. It's like there's something missing. So in order to make Christmas what it ought to be, it needs to be the right kind of Christmas. It needs to be the right Christmas. It needs to be an all right Christmas. It needs to be a white Christmas. And we want to sing Merry Christmas to Christ and sing it. Sister Deborah Lee's, her birthday is today. We're going to recognize her and have her birthday. Amen. We're going to sing that. Remind me before we leave. It is important, I tell you, that Christmas be white. It's just something about it. And I don't know about you, but when you think about it, I seek one. We ought to seek a white Christmas. Because Christmas should be white. And not only that, it should stay white. Amen. Amen. Christmas. It just seems like there's something wrong if things are not white. So people frost their windows. They buy snowmen. They buy cars that's got snow on the trees, because they want white. It's just like there's something missing if it's not. It just Christmas wouldn't be that like it ought to be if it were not white. Amen. I flew all the way to Colorado during one Christmas season. Went down from Denver down to Colorado Springs, and I saw those because I wanted to see something. I wanted to touch something white. Amen. And I went on up to Pikes Peak. About halfway up, I got out of the car, and it's so cold and dense, and I got to that snow, and I stuck my finger in there because I want some. I want some snow, and that's usually what it symbolizes. It symbolizes snow, and I wanted some snow, and being from Tennessee and not from Austin, you don't always get seasonal weather, and it's made me almost want to leave the church because I want some snow. It seemed like something is incomplete. Amen. I want some. So I went and I put my finger in the snow. Amen. And I regrettably flew on back home. Amen. My wife and I were together. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm in on it. I want some. I want a white Christmas because it ought to be white. And that's what the angel. That's what happened was the angel. Joseph didn't understand that he needed Christmas to be white. Amen. It needed to be white, and was. He found out that his woman that he loved the most, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost, according to verse 18, and I'm sure it broke his heart. I'm sure it hurt him. Amen. It hurt him. It's interesting. He loved this woman. It hurt him that she was pregnant. But he, although it hurt him, he did not want to hurt her. That's true love, isn't it? He said, I don't know if I could, amen, I thought I could trust Mary, but apparently Mary is pregnant, and I can't, and it hurts me. I'm disappointed that the woman I love so much, amen, apparently there's a problem. She there's not, it's making me question whether or not I can trust her. And so he says that, but it hurt me, but I don't want to hurt her. He said in verse 19 that he said he's going to try to put her away privately because he didn't want to make her a public example, because the Jews let you know what happened when little girls get pregnant, and they made a public spectacle out of you and let them see what happened to girls who get pregnant out of wedlock, and what you do is you get stoned to death. Amen. So he didn't want to embarrass the girl. So the Bible tells us in verse 20 that while he thought on these things, that an angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Amen. Amen. The angel of the Lord says, I better step in here. Amen. That's a divine intervention. Amen. God says it's so important that that Joseph know that God says, I need to send an angel to go down there to Joseph and go down there and let him know. No, Joseph. We need a white Christmas. Amen. It's funny how the world wanna keep Christmas from becoming white. Amen. And the angel persisted and said, no, go on through with it. Go on through with this ceremony. Amen. Don't stop short of making it white. And God, if necessary, would appear to you in a dream. He will intervene. Amen. A dream in biblical time was a channel of divine communication, and apparently he was asleep, because verse 24 said he was asleep, and he was not just daydreaming, he was asleep, and the angel of the Lord told him, fear not. Amen. You seek, amen. God seeks a white Christmas, and I want you to know it should be white. And I don't want you to give up on it. It should be white. It should be a white Christmas. Go get your Bible. I'll prove it to you. That's supposed to be a white Christmas. She can wear a white dress. She says, this is a case where a virgin is going to be with child. And amen, amen. Isaiah, go get your Bible, Joseph, and you'll find out that the prophecy says in Isaiah 7:14 that a virgin is going to be pregnant. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have the energy to trumpet this morning, but the prophecy was fulfilled. Do you know what really happened? What really happened is Isaiah's prophecy that was 800 years before the time of our text. His prophecy was that, behold, a virgin shall be with a child, amen, and she shall bring forth a son. Amen. Amen. This. She's pregnant, but she's still a virgin. Amen. Even today they call her the Virgin Mary, although she's not a virgin today, because we know she went on to have some more children, but that's another song. But the fact is, she's called a virgin, and we believe in it. We believe in it. Otis, we believe, Roderick, in the virgin birth, the deity of Christ in the virgin birth. We may not understand it, but we can't deny what Scripture teaches. The virgin birth, amen, the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God, and the virgin birth, it actually was more a virginal conception, because the birth was normal. She had a normal 9-month birth, but the miracle was in the conception, not in the delivery. Amen, the time came, she gave a baby like everyone else. It was a virgin birth, but if you look a little deeper, you'll find out that it was a virginal conception. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that a miracle has occurred right up under our noses. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the God I believe in? Do you understand what happened? Well, let me just ask you this. Do you believe a virgin can get pregnant without a man? Do you believe a woman can get pregnant in the absence of a man? Very simple question. And apart from what you see God do, it's impossible. But it is true. It being true should awaken our commitment to God and say we are not just wasting our time or spinning our wheels. I prayed last night. The Lord help me. The more I studied, Sister Carsonata, I found out that the more I studied, I'm just not worthy to change. The Lord, you got to help me explain because this is a miracle. Do you believe in miracles? I believe Ricky Young believes in miracles. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's over there now. You can't hardly be still. A miracle. The birth of Jesus was not supposed to happen. Where did he come from? How did this woman get pregnant? And apparently heaven knew what was going on. Let me settle down. Because the angel showed up and said, I know everything that's going on. I'm keeping tabs on everything. I see what you've got. You're about to jump ship. But no, apparently God wanted Jesus to be born to both parents. He said, no. Because she could have went ahead and had the baby without him. But it's something. He said, no, you stay right there. Amen. You're going to provide the legal royal lineage. And although I could get into Jeconiah and all kind of things that would have prevented this, but it needed to be there. We needed this birth in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew and the genealogy in Luke that gives Mary's genealogy, the bloodline. One has the bloodline. The other one has the royal line, the legal line. And the fact of the matter is that he said, no, you stay right there. Don't you go nowhere. Don't jump ship. Don't leave her. Joseph was a good man because the Bible says he was a just man, number one. And he didn't want to embarrass this woman, although his trust was challenged. Because now this woman I'm just so crazy about is pregnant. She's saying she ain't been with no other man. God wanted him to be born into a Christian home because he had to believe that angel, and it was indicative of his faith in God. The fact that he stayed put. He didn't go nowhere. He stayed right there. Well, let's not hold you. The truth of the matter is, he stayed there because the angel wanted him to know that Christmas should be white. Amen. It is a supernatural event. It was not a normal, natural thing for somebody to get pregnant. Now, I don't ever doubt my faith. If you can get grips to how this whole thing started, the prophecy came, how this whole thing started is that somebody got pregnant in the absence of a man. Now, that deserves some respect. You ought to be renewed and recommitted to God. You don't care what nobody say. God is in charge. I don't care what nobody feel about Christ. I'm on board with him. I believe in everything. This virgin got pregnant. It started a miracle. And it said that it was a child of the Holy Ghost of all people. The Holy Ghost got her pregnant. And women, they can't use that no more. Now, that's the only time that ever happened. But it should be white. Amen. And he wanted Joseph to understand that Joseph, this is more about trusting God than it is about trusting Mary. I know relationships should have trust in them. Do you trust your man? Amen. Heard a lot of amens on the front row over here. Amen. I trust him. Amen. I trust my mate. I do. I trust my mate. But this is more about trusting God. Don't go nowhere. Stay right there, Joseph. Let me get on out of here. The truth is not here. Just stay right there, Joseph. Don't go nowhere. Don't run off. This thing is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't. Amen. 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 I know it hurt your feelings what happened, but don't go anywhere. Hold on. Amen. The God showed up in a dream. God knows what's going on in our lives. And I'm more devoted to God. Now I get to the sermon. I'm more devoted to God because of the facts of our faith. It's strange. It sounds like an oxymoron, but the fact of our faith that's in our faith, the fact that Jesus, a woman, got pregnant, God came down to earth and got in a woman. He said, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, meaning God, verse 23, with us. God came down and got into a woman. And scientifically, biologically, if you don't want to believe in our faith, go ahead and check the reality of what happened. This is all about Mary. And I'm not leaving him, by the way. I'm not going nowhere. You can't shake my faith. I can't get over the miracle. A woman got pregnant without a man.